Welcome to Prog Rock Digital.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Prog Rock Digital. This is episode 6 of season 2. Thank you very much for downloading and streaming. Thank you for visiting progrockdigital.com. Now today I'm chatting with John W. Crawford, the visionary, the executive producer behind Voice in the Light by the band Amaranth's Plight. Now this album was originally released in 2007. It is now being re-released July 30th out through Lone Wolf Music. Enjoy the episode. Open
to fire. Paris of Troy out through Ludos Records. Their debut single, Torn Away. True inside. Australian prog at its best. Available for download and stream on all digital platforms.
Hello, this is Mick Box of Uriah Heep, and you're listening to Prog Rock Digital.
The man behind some of the most iconic pieces of art connected to some of the biggest names in rock, Ioannis. Originally from Athens, Greece, in the last 36 years has created over 300 record covers for such clients as King Crimson, Fate's Warning, Uriah Heep, Allman Brothers, Blue Oyster Cult, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Yngwie Malmsteen, Deep Purple, Styx, just to name a few. Be sure to connect with Ioannis at www.dangerousage.com.
John, welcome to Prog Rock Digital. Thanks for coming on. How's it going?
Good day, Nick. I am doing great.
How are things in Pennsylvania, man?
I am in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Amish country, of course, in the USA, and it's summertime here, and we're excited with some new things, something kind of that's old but new we're going to be doing, and yeah, I appreciate having you being on the show.
Well, man, look, you're the brains behind Amaranth's Plight, Voice in the Light. You put the band together, you financed the project. Tell us a bit about it. And obviously you're here for one thing, and that is you're spruiking the fact that you're re-releasing Voice in the Light out through Lone Wolf Music, through your own label, of course. Tell us a bit about it. Tell us a bit about the process. Originally released this album in 2007. Why now? And yeah, just run us through the process.
Wow. We'll have to do this over several podcasts, actually, but to say that I'm the brains behind it, it might not be quite as accurate a statement. I'm the primary story writer and lyricist, but Gary Werekamp is the musical mind behind it. And So him and I both have, I guess, we're half brains that came together with this. But the short story is that this year is the 20th anniversary of me writing the story and the lyrics in such a way that it formed the beginning stages of a concept album. That took place in the winter of 2000. And it was supposed to be re-released last year, but COVID kind of screwed us up and we decided to push it off another year. So here we are. It is the 20th anniversary of when it was written by me. Lyrically and the storyline, not musically. I am musically illiterate, although I had directions and ideas for the songs. Gary wrote all the music, and DC Cooper, along with Gary, wrote the vocal melodies. most of the vocal melodies were written by DC Cooper. And that took place between 2001 and 2006 over the course of several years. Of course, the project was released in 2007 on Prog Rock Records. And that contract was up after 5 years. And now we feel it's right to re-release it. And I'm going to be re-releasing it through my own small little record label and production company.
And this now will lead me to my next question. You seem to have your hands or fingers in a lot of pies. I mean, you're obviously a photographer, you're an author, you own your own label, and various other businesses. I mean, you're never short of ideas and inspiration. Tell us how and why Voice in the Light came about.
Well, when I wrote Voice in the Light, I had just started dabbling with video, very boring stuff, nuisance wildlife control stuff and tractor commercials. But I had big dreams of writing stories and movies and related. So I was going through a difficult time in the fall of 2000, in the winter of 2001. And I'm not sure why, but one day I was thinking about a story that someone had told me about a man that was dying of cancer and had told his wife and his best friend that they should get together after he passes. And that sort of was the catalyst for, and it was somewhat of a true story. The guy's name was Ronnie Swinehart, and he did pass away. Story isn't as quite as accurate as I heard through the grapevine, but it just kind of started to grow. And I had two or three song ideas. It's just, you know, all projects are puzzles. You put the pieces of the puzzle together and then you have a final picture. So it started off as song titles and ideas for each one, and then just kind of grew from there.
So what was it like working with our good friend Gary Werkamp? Total gentleman, amazing musician. And then obviously working with DC Cooper and Nick DiVigilio, and obviously you had our good old friend Mr. Barabbas on bass. Run us through that. I mean, that would have been inspiring in itself, just being in the studio while these guys were laying down their tracks and acquainting themselves with your lyrics, Gary's music, and just putting everything together. What was the feeling like in the studio?
Well, I wish I could say that it was, like the guys from Led Zeppelin locking themselves into Headley Grange for a year. Those days are long gone. How it really came to pass was Gary and I met. I had contacted Gary through the Shadow Gallery fan club. And
if I can just interject there, John, sorry for a sec there. Gary actually told us this story. I had him on the show a few episodes back, actually probably about 4 or 5 episodes back. So, yeah, please touch on it again, because it is interesting, and it definitely puts forward the fact that, if you've got an idea in your head, keep pushing. So, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so we're going to give you the Crawford version. I'm not sure. The truth is probably somewhere in the middle, but the how it started was I had finished the thing and I had big dreams, and it was in the spring of 2001. I put ads in the Metal Edge magazine, and in the back of the Metal Edge magazine were fan club addresses. So I had a friend of mine at her job draw up this press package on her computer during her lunch break, because I didn't have a computer at the time. I didn't even have to do email. This is spring of 2001. And I sent out all these press packages. And I was a huge fan of Shadow Gallery, so I sent one to theirs, and I got no response. And so I sent a second one, and I think possibly a third. But what I also did was, in the back of the CD booklet was the thank yous, one of which was a record store in near where Gary Werekamp and them were from, which Gary's only about an hour and a half from me. And I called this store and asked for this guy that was thanked in the back of the, I think his name was Josh. And he came to the phone, and I said, I'm writing this masterpiece, and I'd like to speak to Gary Werekamp about renting his studio. Can you put me in contact with him? This is John Crawford from Lone Wolf. And of course, I'm in my little house, you know, with big dreams, and that's about all I had. And so it's by chance that I believe Gary had just gone to the Shadow Gallery fan club mailbox and saw my press package again and a note in there, and then went to see Josh at the record store. And Josh said, hey, there's some guy that contacted named John Crawford. So Gary said, well, I guess this guy is pretty serious. So he called. I came home from work, and there was a message on the machine from Gary, and I couldn't believe it because I was a fan. So I called back, and then he never called me back for 3 weeks. And I thought, you know, every time the phone rang, I thought, oh, is it him, you know? But lo and behold, he did call back, and we talked, and he liked it. And about 2 weeks after that, or a month after that, I was sitting in his studio giving him my pitch. And he agreed to do it. And he agreed to let me use his, basically his name that he was attached to it, to get other musicians. And that's when I reached out to DC Cooper.
Paint the picture for us, if you can, just a few hours in the studio, or a day in the studio with, I mean, were they in the room together at the same time, or was it, you know, a bit of both, or how does that work, or how did it work?
DC Cooper agreed to do it. I sent him a press package. He responded 2 weeks later, and the first thing he said to me is, after we do this record, you need to do the movie or the play, because it's standing. Prepare to learn how to write movie scripts. And so we then waited for Gary to come up with a few demos. Now, I financed this, so I did not have any money coming in for this project till about February or March of 2001. But in January, I contacted Gary, and he was so inspired by the first two songs that he had already started working on them. So I went up to his studio in January and sat down in his studio and listened to what he had started, which was one of the most amazing moments of it, because then there was a song attached to these lyrics and song ideas. I had musical directions of tempo, speed, vibe, and even down to, you know, hey, let's have a Def Leppard style, you know, acoustic guitar at the beginning. And I didn't even know the jargon, you know, I just know good music. And so once that was done, and then money came into play and was paid to the musicians, DC Cooper came to Gary's studio for a day and a half or 2 days, and we laid down vocals for those two songs. And many of those vocals are actually used on the final recording because they were so strong. And but it was really cool to be able to sit there with, you know, these guys that I had, you know, I watched DC Cooper, you know, live from Japan, and I was a huge fan. And I had gone to see him as well sometime that fall. And had a really good conversation. I mean, I had conversation with him about coming on board and finances and so forth and so on. So everything felt really good. They were really excited about it. I was excited about it. they sat me down and they said, how much do you love your lyrics? And I said, you know, I love them. I wrote them. And basically they said, it's a good start, but it's not your best. We need, Gary said to me, we need for you to learn how to write lyrics like Robert Plant or Roger Waters, and that can start right now. And I was, for a second, I was a little bit offended, but then I was like, no, they're right. This is a good start, and they know what they're talking about. You trust experts, and they're experts. And so it was a learning experience as well. However, I will say some of the songs, 80 or 90% of the lyrics were actually used as they were written by me in the first place.
Coming July 30th, the re-release of Amarin's Plight, Voice in the Light, featuring Gary Werkamp, DC Cooper, and Nick DiVigilio.
One of the greatest progressive conceptual albums of the 2000s is with us once again.
www.amarinsplight.net.
Out through Lone Wolf Music.
Obviously, we've got a concept, we have music, we have the recording situation, studio, we have... Once the recording came to fruition and it was ready and ready for release, where did it go from there?
Well, there was a period of time in the middle, somewhere between 2004 and 2005, that I just flat out ran out of money. The truth is that Inside Out Music had interest in it because they were interested in Gary and Shadow Gallery, and they had DC Cooper on board. Now, at the time, we did not have Nick DiVigilio or Kurt Barabas. We had been in talks with Mark Zonder, but that did not work out. So it basically was the three of us. And Inside Out Music was very interested in it, but then backed out at the last minute. And that left a financial void where we stalled for about 2 years. And we had about 70% or 80% of the album demoed by that time. DC Cooper and I had done a good bit of stuff, the demo stuff, just before the money ran out on my end. And so I had gotten married and started to be a little bit responsible and had to grow up. My dream had to go on a shelf. But then Sean Gordon from Prog Rock Records we had a discussion about it, and he said, you know, how much do you need to finish this thing? And we talked about money a little bit, and you know, he said, how much time? I said, 8 or 9 months, and come up with the cash and we're good. And he did. He jumped in with both feet, and he was able to get Nick DiVigilio and I think Rich Mauser, who did the mixing, and also Kurt. And it just kind of all came together. Again, all projects are puzzles. And sometimes you lose the piece of the puzzle. It's on the floor or it's under paper somewhere, but you find it and you put it together, and you just keep putting it together.
So John, look, I'll have you back on the show, if you don't mind, in the coming episodes. Obviously, I would love to have, you know, both you and Gary on the show if possible, or a combination of whatever. I mean, would love to have someone from Amarin's Plight on with you, and, you know, for us to go through, you know, the motions. Thank you very much for coming on the show. Quickly spruik the July 30th release, if you can, or the re-release.
Yeah, the re-release is going to take place on July 30th. We are going to release the original version of Voice in the Light, and also the Japanese release that contains a bonus track. I myself, along with Gary and DC, own the rights to that, and so that's going to be released through us. And it's going to be the whole entire project was always meant to be a complete experience. So yes. I'm not sure if we're going to do a digital download right away, because we want people to sit and look at the lyrics and the pictures and listen to the entire thing and people don't do that anymore. So that's going to be the first thing. We're all going to have also a special package where you can buy both together, and there'll be an additional booklet in there, and perhaps some other goodies. We're going to see a lot of Amarin's Plate and a lot of stuff about Voice and the Light in this next year. And yeah, I appreciate it. And I will hopefully try to get Gary freed up where we can talk. This project was a mammoth undertaking. We had a lot of time and great time, and there's a lot of really cool things that went on behind the scenes that we can talk about.
Fantastic. So amarinsplight.net, and it's going to be out through Lone Wolf Music. John Crawford, thank you very much for coming on the show. We'll chat soon. Have an amazing day or night. It's early morning here in Melbourne, Australia, so we shall keep in touch, and enjoy, man. Have an awesome awesome re-release.
You bet. Thank you very much, and talk to you soon.